Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Tommy Kester, along with Jacob Albracht on a Wednesday edition of the program. Glad to be here with you this morning. The IHOP hotline is open at 869-1240 for you to join the program today as we roll along. A lot going on today. Of course, off the top, we'll get into what's happening with the Kansas City Royals. Game one of the wild card round in the books as the Royals take a 1-0 lead in the wild card round. We've got that. We've got our KU insider Shreya Salata joining us at 9:30 this morning to talk about the debacle that is KU football. That will be coming up a little bit later on in the program. And head coach for Wichita State men's basketball, Paul Mills, joins us at 10 a.m. So a lot to get to on the program today. Jacob, good morning, my friend.
Hey, Tommy. Can you hear me?
I can't. We got you.
Okay. All right. I don't know what's going on there. Here's what I think is going on. We get into this. It's a great Wednesday. We're getting ready. Tommy saw my beautiful Hawaiian shirt and panicked because he forgot to wear his on this Hawaiian shirt Wednesday, so he muted my microphone.
Well, I saw you and I thought, we've got to make a change here. I'm going to go ahead and commandeer the show.
No.
You know, that's kind of what ended up happening.
There is a movement happening called Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays. There's nothing better. I went out for, got the kids to school, went out for the morning walk. It was a little brisk today. Nothing better than to trick the weather trying to get cold on us than to throw on your best Hawaiian and party with us on Sports Daily. It is a big show. It is party time. Royals are up 1-0 in a series in the wild card round. Man, how good is it to have playoff baseball back? Royals fans, how good is this? Doesn't that feel good? Now, it would feel tragic if it was the other way and you'd be panicking, and I get it, but that is the beauty of postseason baseball. This is a blast. That was intense baseball yesterday. I don't know what else to say other than buckle up, and maybe they can get it wrapped up today. Maybe they go to a game three. I don't know, but this is what it's all about. And we will talk about a lot of things today, Tommy, but we will start with the Royals, and we will be on this Royals train for as long as it will take us. And flashbacks to a decade ago when this time of year was dominated by postseason baseball. It's every day, just about. It's the best. It's the best. And the Royals are right in the mix of it. A game one win. That was awesome yesterday.
It really was. And one of those games that you go through from start to finish. And first off, it went extremely quick. I mean, anytime you've got a 1-0 game, it's going to go fast, even in a playoff setting. So it was quick from first pitch to the end of the game. But it really highlighted the strengths of this Royals ball club. It really, I think, kind of showcased what Kansas City has done well all season long. And it's primarily starting pitching. It's primarily yep. Cole Reagans. But it's a bullpen that, and I know that this has been a topic of conversation for quite a while about whether or not we will continue to see the Royals bullpen that ended the regular season, or if they would revert back to the same old Kansas City bullpen that has struggled off and on throughout the course of the year. Well, at least in game one of the wild card round, they continued on that dominant stretch. It took several pitchers to get it done against Baltimore, but ultimately they got it done. The offense really, you know, didn't really do a whole lot. But I think that's to be expected to an extent, taking on Corbin Burns. So sure. All in all, it was about, you know, really kind of like what has become standard quality Royals baseball.
It was perfect because they win 1-0. It could have been the other way, but yeah, you got three clean out of the bullpen. Not only that, you got three clean out of the bullpen when the bullpen was not expecting to be needed at that point, right? Reagans had to leave the start at only 80 pitches when he was grooving. There's no chance they would have taken him out had he not had his cramps. And hopefully that's not a long-term concern. But they were good, and it went just the way you wanted it to go, ending with Bubich and Ursig, and Ursig showed his versatility, able to come in and give you more than one inning, and that's one of his greatest assets. His pitches, he looked filthy to me yesterday, at least to my eye, a lot of movement, a lot of those things. Offensively, one run is not good, but you... In a curious decision to put Massey at the top of the lineup, he did get on base to start the game. Bobby Witt Jr., of course, had the clutch hit. Vinny Pasquantino got on base. He had a walk. Perez, Gurriel, almost everybody got on base somehow in the game. So I do like that. And you hope that it was a Burns thing and that they can bounce back. Now, they'll go up against another good starting pitcher tonight. So, you know, that's the other thing, too. You know, it's a Burns thing, but Tommy probably... When you get to this point of the season and you've reached this point, everybody's got some pretty good starting pitching. Zach Eflin's a good starting pitcher. So you're not going to get many opportunities to go up against a dud pitcher when you're playing in the postseason. So I liked that they were aggressive on the base paths. I know that you know, worked once for them and not the other time. I saw two. I was on set during a lot of the game, watching it on a screen about the size of an index card. But I like them being aggressive on the bases. I think that's something they'll need to do. And I think that's something that benefits teams in the postseason oftentimes. It benefited the Royals when they won their World Series and went to two in a row. They ran all the time and played kind of old school baseball. I do think this team is capable of that. And so we see now. The good news is You won the game. Like, who cares? You're also to that point of the season, Tommy, where it's like, I don't care how they won it. They won it. And now they've got Baltimore facing an elimination game here.
Yeah, and look, I think that really you mentioned the starting pitching in general being, a solid indicator of a team making the playoffs, being a quality team that could make a run. And that really, I think, really showed off in a majority of these game ones that we saw yesterday, not just, in the Royals game, but like Tarek Skubal, showed why he is an ace because of what he was able to do for Detroit against Houston on the road in Houston, by the way, showed that yesterday. I think the fact that the Braves didn't have any of their aces available in game one, that reared its ugly head for Atlanta last night against San Diego. So I do think that there is some legitimacy to that claim that, not only does starting pitching get you into the postseason, if you've got good quality, multiple, players, multiple pitchers that can get you to that point, but it also shows up big time when you're starting off a series, especially in a best of three. And this is something that, from a wild card round perspective, there are certainly teams that I think that are in the postseason right now that are built more for a best of five or even a best of seven type series.
The Orioles
for sure. The Royals are built for a best of three. They really are because they're so top heavy, especially when you're talking about Reagans and Lugo. Doesn't take anything away from the other starters. And I know that in a potential game three, if the Royals lose today, they'll send Waka out there and Waka's been pretty good this year, but they're top heavy with Reagans and Lugo. They've got two aces in the same way that the Orioles have Burns and Eflin and the Phillies have Wheeler and Nola. You've got top tier pitchers at the top of these rotations that are built for series like this.
And then you've got teams and they lost games like the Braves, like the Brewers, really pretty much everybody who lost games yesterday who are built for stretched out series, but they have to get there. And, standing in the way right now, the Orioles is a Royals team playing with house money, feeling good about the way they're playing. They even despite the fact that they are still slumping offensively. I mean, let's be real about it. They are. If that turns the corner in the postseason, and it totally could, right? Because we've seen it all year, right? It turns a corner and then they go white hot. If that turns a corner in the postseason, look out. Look out. They can get through this series. If they can crawl through this series and at some point ignite some of these bigger bats, right? Having Benny Pasquantino is certainly going to help. Then look out, because they become as dangerous as any team in this postseason if that happens. If you tell me that, if I'm the opposition and I know what the Royals starting pitching can do, right? I know how the back end of the bullpen has looked for a while. If you told me and I was the opposition that Vinny Pasquantino, Perez, and Witt can find their groove collectively, I'm pretty scared. I'm pretty nervous because that makes the Royals the most dangerous. Now, who knows if that'll happen offensively? I'm not sure. But at least they can be clutch, right? At least they can do those little things. Let's look ahead to tonight's game. Zach Eflin takes the mound when we return. Of course, you'll hear the game right here on KFH on the Odyssey app. Pre-game coverage begins at 3 o'clock. So we will have that for you. We're going to come back. More Royals talk. That IHOP hotline's open, 869-1240. It's brought to you by IHOP. Celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP House faves, all your favorites for just $6 Monday through Friday. Don't go away. Royals playoff edition of Sports Daily continues. Back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, where some of us are celebrating and some of us are choosing to be fun haters. You can guess who, or you can look at our video stream and can quickly find out.
I gotta be professional today, my friend. Like, I've got a job to do once we get done.
And so do I. I have like four jobs to do.
Yeah, but like, you are in the comfort of your own home where you can just go and change your clothes.
Tommy, this is our safe space to be unprofessional. This outlet, that's why we both do this.
You are
right?
Sitting in a windowless, darkened room in your home right now, where, like, you might be broadcasting to the world from there, but you don't have to like walk out and go right into like
That's
a coworker's
correct.
Meeting or something like that. Like I'm in our studio, like I'm in the studio at work in the Odyssey offices right now. Like
that's correct.
I can't just go and change my clothes. I mean, I could, but I'm not going to. That's a big hassle. A lot of work.
Paul Savage doesn't have any problem walking around the Odyssey studios with Paul's best Hawaiian shirt.
Paul Savage is a unique individual, like 365 days a year. So, like that doesn't surprise me whatsoever.
Some might call him a style aficionado. Some might. Right now, you don't even know if I'm wearing pants. How about that?
I don't want to know.
And we're going to keep that a mystery. By the way, but it is Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. This is our safe space to party, and we're partying right now because we've got playoff baseball. We've got Royals playoff baseball, which we haven't had in a very long time. I love this. I said this yesterday. And people that listen to this show know I'm a Texas Rangers fan. I had my party last year. Tommy's an Atlanta Braves fan. He's had plenty of parties over the years. I have missed this greatly, both professionally, because it's obscenely more fun to do this for a living when you have a good baseball team to follow. But for the fans, man, because we have both had that experience lately of postseason baseball. And in my opinion, I don't think there's anything better. There are things as good, but the reason I say that, March Madness is going to be awesome no matter what. Whether your team is still alive or not, March Madness is awesome. It's more awesome if your team's alive, right? The NFL playoffs, awesome no matter what. Super Bowl, awesome no matter what. College football playoffs, fine. We'll learn and see how much better it gets if your team's involved, because more of them will be now. But to me, baseball, like the postseason's good if you're a baseball fan, but I don't know that I would call it awesome if your team's not alive. The difference between having a team still in it and not in baseball to me is the most stark of the sports things that we love. So I love the baseball postseason. If I have a team in it more than anything, you also get it every day, potentially for a month. It's fantastic. It just gives and gives and gives and takes away, and it's stressful and dramatic and fun. So I love this for Royals fans. It's been way too long since Royals fans have been able to experience this. It's been a problem for that franchise, quite frankly. It's been a failure for that franchise, quite frankly, but not anymore. Who cares, right? Because right now they're in it. And they're up 1-0 in a 3-game series against Baltimore.
I'm probably a little biased because I'm just a baseball fan in general. And so, you know, I'll lock in if I can, if I'm available, I'll lock into the baseball playoffs, regardless if my team is in it or not. Now, I think part of the difference is that, like with the NFL playoffs, you're not getting an NFL playoff game on a Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock. Like that's not the way that it goes. You're getting those playoff games in the evening and on the weekends. So it's a little bit easier to lock in because of that, where it's difficult now with Major League Baseball, because like the Royals play all three of these games in the wild card round, assuming that it goes to three games, hope it doesn't. But if it does, all three of those games in the afternoon on weekdays. That makes it a little bit more difficult for people to lock in, I think.
But to me, it makes it more fun to like sneak around the office.
Sure, it's like March Madness.
I hope our bosses aren't listening right now. But yeah, like sneaking around at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, I don't know. And I'm probably not in the majority on that, by the way. I think Royals fans would probably agree with me right now that it's the best, but we're living in the moment here. And in the moment, the Royals are up 1-0. So today it's game two. This time it's a 3:38 start. So a little bit different, by the way. And you'll hear it here with us on KFH, home of the Royals. It's Lugo. It's Eflin. The Royals are favorites. The Orioles are favorites in this game. And they are pretty big favorites in this game. The Astros are the only bigger favorite today than the Orioles. Take that for what it's worth. I'll be betting the Royals money line again, but which paid yesterday, by the way. Lugo, Eflin, I think you like it if you're Royals fans. I'll tell you what I like even more is that they've got a little bit of cushion here with this one, Tommy, and that their back's not against the wall in this exact same scenario. because Lugo has not been quite as good as Reagan's down the stretch here. He's still been good. He's still been fine. His last full start was good. He has pitched, I believe, against Baltimore this year. He did. He went, he did not have a good start in April against Baltimore. And I want to say that was the only time he caught them this year. It is. So I don't think you take anything away from April, although it was just like his lone bad start there. I don't know if that means anything. It seriously, it was his only bad start in his first like 15 was against Baltimore. So keep that in mind. But to my original point, I'm very, very grateful for the Royals' sake that this is not an elimination game on their side.
Yeah, and I think that Vegas, when they're setting these lines for game twos, a lot of it is they're baking in some desperation from the teams that do have their backs up against the wall. I mean, take a look at Houston, for example. Like you mentioned, they're the biggest favorite of the entire day, primarily because like the thought of the Astros that have had so much experience in the postseason over the last decade at home in a wild card round facing elimination, you know, the conventional wisdom is that they'll find a way to fight that off and force a game three. That I think that's another, you know, reason why the Orioles are favored the way that they are in this particular game. Also, Seth Lugo, while really good this year, it wasn't quite as great in the second half of the season. Like, it was still good. It was more up and down in the second half of the year for Kansas City. So I think that's baked in a little bit, too, when this line is being set. There's a point that I want to bring up about Kansas City in this round that I kept thinking about as I watched the last out of the eighth inning and then all of the ninth inning, and that was when Lucas Ercig was on the mound. Not only do the Royals not win that game without Lucas Ercig on the mound? But the Royals aren't in the playoffs without Lucas Ercig.
Oh, no question.
There's no other way around that. And like,
no.
There is not a more impactful acquisition that J.J. Piccolo made. And there may not be a more impactful acquisition in baseball this year than Lucas Ercig being traded from the Athletics to the Royals at the trade deadline. And I know that there are, and I haven't looked it up, but I know that there are stats out there that will track like wins above replacement and things like that, or like what the expected win total for the Royals was before Ercig came in to now. And I haven't like researched that and looked that up, but you cannot overstate the importance of Ercig on the mound for this team.
And in a credit to him, he wasn't even expected to be this.
Right.
Right. Harvey was supposed to be this. Harvey's who they traded a ton to get, and he's been hurt. Ercig was just extra cannon fire. I think it was Dallas Braden. I don't remember who it was. It was one of the longtime A's who's kind of connected to that clubhouse when they made that trade. You know, we're just like, I'm so excited for him. He's going to thrive in this. And I'm like, okay. And then you see his stuff, and I'm like, God, like everything's moving. Yeah, no, you're exactly right about him. They're not there without him, and they're not going to get anywhere in the postseason without him either, by the way. Like, he's going to be a big part of whatever they do one way or the other. His role will be microscoped heavily. Seth Lugo's been much better since August 30th. He's had one start in which he gave up more than two runs, one, and it was four. It was against the Tigers, too. But he's, you know, he's done a really nice job. I'm going to give you this before we go to break. Listen to these teams that Lugo has fared well against since August 30th. At the Astros, the Guardians, at the Yankees, at the Braves, and then the Giants. And then his start against Detroit was not good. So he's pitched well against good teams lately. I'm optimistic today. I'm sure glad the Royals are up 1-0, though, at the same time. And I love their chances in a game three if it gets to that point. Let's hope that it doesn't. We'll have more on the Royals coming up a little later. When we return, we'll talk a little KU football with our KU insider, Shreya Slada. I don't even know how to frame that up, but we'll go through the latest. Is there anything to salvage here? I am so curious to hear what things are like in Lawrence from his perspective right now. We'll do that next on Sports Daily.
.75 and 1240 KFH.
back in, everybody. Mornings at KFH. Staff enjoys a great cup of coffee from Prairie Fire Coffee. Appreciate them for fueling us up here on Sports Daily. We welcome in our KU insider, Jacob Albrock and Tommy Caster here, joined now by Shreya Slotta, beat reporter for the KC Star on KU football, KU basketball. And Shreyas, our greatest fears have come to life. It is October as we turn the calendar to October, and KU football is sliding slowly back into irrelevancy. And I don't mean that it should be necessarily, but I'm afraid that it will if they don't figure out a way to win a game. How are you this morning?
Good. what an intro. But I think it's kind of, I think we talked about it last week. It's go time for KU football. I mean, it's been go time for like 4 weeks now, but four straight losses, tough loss. Three of those losses they probably could have won if they had limited turnovers and stuff like that. And I was texting Carter Stanley about this yesterday, and he's like, looking at the schedule, I thought coming into the year, he was telling me, I thought they'd have maybe two losses in the first five games. And he said, I'd be disappointed with the fact they'd have two losses, but they still, I think, I didn't expect them to be, we'd be talking about them having lost four straight. And I think that's where I'm at. I think, if I looked at that schedule and I said, hey, before the season, I think KU's going to lose maybe one of these five games, pick whatever you want. I don't know which one. And I felt like I would have come out on top of that, prediction probably 70% of the time. Right now, we're looking at a KU team that hasn't won in almost a month. I think it's been a month. Has it been a month?
Yeah.
It feels like things are tense. That's the word I'd use around KU football right now. Tense.
Sure, yes. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm a KU football fan. I have been for a long time. I followed this team for a long time. Try to get up to as many games as I can each year with my family. I've been to, I think, all but one of the home games so far this year, but I've obviously watched all of them. And the one thing that I came on this show on Monday and talked about was that this was the first time this season that I felt like Kansas was not the better team on the field against TCU. In every other game, it had been they were the better team. They were the better team against West Virginia. In all of the non-conference games, they were the better team. They just couldn't find a way to pull out the victory. TCU was flat out a better team than Kansas was. They looked more prepared. They looked more athletic. They looked more effective and efficient. All of those different things. I mean, it definitely, they outclassed the Jayhawks on Saturday. And to me, I think that's the most disappointing thing.
No, I completely agree. I think this was the first game that I felt like, hey, they didn't really have a chance to win. The momentum changer felt like that punt return for a touchdown. I mean, good football teams don't give up 89-yard punt returns for touchdowns. Good football teams don't, lose because of a potential block in the back. I think it's one of those things that everything is compounding. I just don't understand how bad this KU team is, because you had most of this team from last year return. You have guys, if I think KU is bad right now, what's next year going to look like when 15, 16 of these guys are gone and 30 guys really are graduating, 15, 16 starters are gone. This was the year I think KU football was supposed to come out there and shock the world and make a Big 12 title run. And right now, and I wrote about it after the game, it's now like, can you even win a bowl game? Can you get to a point where you're going to get to be in a bowl game? Because they're entering really dangerous territory. If they don't win Saturday, you have now put yourself in a situation where you're going to the bye week 1-5. 1-5. And Houston is the only winnable game that I can certainly say that I think they'll win. But also, who knows? I think it's become a spiral, right? Like, it's clear that until you win the game, I can't sit there and definitively say they're going to win any game. And once they win a game, then I can sit there and evaluate this team. But, I think it's a compounding issue. This was the first game, like you said, that they really weren't in it for most of it. I mean, they hung around a little bit, but I thought TCU was the really better team.
So I agree. And the problem with the schedule is now Iowa State's better than we thought. BYU's better than we thought. Colorado's better than we thought. So what at one point looked like a advantageous schedule, they've started the advantageous part of it with two losses. I'm concerned about the bowl game thing too. Here's the bigger, more pressing concern, Trius. What in the hell has happened to the defense? Because Jalen Daniels is not an accurate passer right now. The fit with Grimes isn't a good fit. Like, it's just not. But that's not going to change, right? There was still hope, though, that this could be a good defensive team that could run the ball. But they can't run the ball if they can't play defense. And for the last 2 weeks, they have not played defense.
Yeah, I think, you know, the reality of the situation is the numbers, like, against West Virginia where they got to the passer were misleading. Three sacks don't really mean that much in the reality when you're not pressuring the quarterback outside of those three plays. I think they had two QB pressures. This past week, I think they sacked the quarterback once or twice the entire game, and they didn't really do anything to really make his life difficult. Josh Hoover was sitting in the pocket, just waiting for his going through his progressions, reading the field, and dart, you know, another 20-yard bomb right there, 15-yard bomb there. I've never seen a quarterback disseminate the KU secondary as well as Josh Hoover did on Saturday since I've been on the beat. I've been on the beat since that Liberty Bowl. So I guess maybe that game, but I don't think the secondary was as good in the December 2022 or whatever as it is now. And let's call it like it is. Kobe Bryant, Melo Dotson, guys who were supposed to be Big 12 All-American type level players, have not been as good as they can be. They haven't gotten enough turnovers. I mean, Melo's done a good job of it this year, I think, with three turnovers. But I feel like the burntness, they're getting burnt on routes a lot more. They're missing some tackles. There was a point where I think Melo didn't properly tackle, and it was behind the sticks, and it turned into a 30, 20-yard game, something like that. And that was just the kind of the evolution of what this secondary has become. Is like, you know, I know the pressure is on that because the defense cannot get to the quarterback, so there's a lot of pressure on the secondary. But, you know, this was supposed to be the one part that you don't worry about, this KU football team, is the secondary. You know, it's kind of like you have O.J. Burrows, you have Melo Dotson, you have the Dye brothers, you have Kobe Bryant. These guys are all older guys. These are guys who you expect to be the strong part of your team no matter what happens with the offense or the rest of the defense. And I think it's a two-pound problem in the sense that they can't get to the quarterback, so the secondary is out there on the field trying to make something happen. They go for more risks. They get burnt a little bit. It's just become an issue where if they can't get to the quarterback, then you're putting a lot of pressure on the secondary. And if the secondary does that, then they're going to make a lot of more mistakes. And it's clear if you have a quarterback that can pass, like TCU did, they're going to have a good day against Kansas if they can't get to you.
Sharice, I have taken quite a bit of heat on this show because I think that there's a perception that I'm a Jalen Daniels defender. And I am to an extent because I don't believe that this is solely on his shoulders at all. Has he regressed from before? Absolutely, he has. His mechanics and his arm strength and decision making and all of that, absolutely not where it had been in the past. And that's real and true. But I also think that he has not gotten any help at all from the sidelines. He has not gotten help at all from his receivers outside of Luke Grimm. You talk about the upperclassmen on the defense and the secondary that haven't played up to standards. I could say the same thing about guys like Lawrence Arnold and Quentin Skinner that have dropped passes left and right when that's not what they do and that's not what is expected of them. So I don't put it on solely on the shoulders of Jalen Daniels because he hasn't gotten any help at all. But it is, I'm not going to mince words here, mind-numbingly infuriating the play calling from this team, because I saw it so many times on Saturday against TCU on first downs when they were calling insanely difficult plays to complete, whether you're talking about like deep shots or just fly routes or whatever, really low percentage completion percentage plays on first down, which then when they didn't work, obviously it's dropping Jalen Daniels' completion percentage down to the lowest he's ever had at KU. But it also is putting the defense or putting the offense with their backs up against the wall on second down and third down. And all of that knowing that they've got a really effective running game with Devin Neal and Daniel Hyshaw that they're not leaning on, and with an offensive line that can absolutely run block for them. And I know that's a long question, words to get to this point, but do you feel that too, like with the play calling, where it's just like you're scratching your head, like what in the world are they doing?
I definitely think the play calling is an issue. I definitely think Jalen Daniels is an issue. I definitely think the wide receivers are an issue. Lawrence Arnold and Quintus Skinner are having probably the worst years you can probably ask for from fifth-year guys in the entire country. These guys were regressed. I don't know what's going on. They're not catching the ball. But I think, and I will say this wholeheartedly, Jalen Daniels right now is playing like he's not confident in his own abilities. If you saw the third, fourth downs where he needed to get something, why are you passing 5 yards below the stick and hoping your receiver makes something out of nothing? That, to me, tells me a quarterback who's not even sure he believes in either himself, the offensive line, or the receivers. I don't know. I think it is something that we have to sit there and say the play calling is an issue. Jalen Daniels might be a bigger issue. The wide receivers have not done many favors. The tight ends are not as good as last year. Mason Fairchild, I mean, Jared Casey and Trevor Cardell, let's call it like it is, they haven't had a good game until this past Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know, like this was the first game where I was like, okay, nice job, Jared Casey. Nice job, Trevor Cardell. You did something on the field where you can quantifiably see besides run blocking. And I think it's lead them to be so one-dimensional on offense because now teams are stacking the box and daring Jalen Daniels to throw. And it's put so much pressure on him because he can't be whatever is going on with him, whether it's an offensive, play calling issue or it's a regression issue or he just wasn't as good as what we thought he once was. And those 7-8 games were just a magical run. I don't know. Like there's probably a mix of everything. But now, and I ask myself this is why isn't Jalen Daniels being talked about? Being put on the bench. Lance was asked about this at the press conference. I don't know if you guys watched that.
I didn't see
it. I wrote about it.
He was the most unhappy.
Most tense press conference I've ever been a part of in the Lance Leipold era since I've been here. He showed up late. It was defensive all around. And I don't think any of the questions were super out of line. I think Matt Tate asked a good question there at the end. I think he threw his hands up at one point when asked about changes. And I will say this, and I've said this before, you know, to other people in the KU. The KU beat is a relatively very positive beat compared to most beats in the country.
Yeah, it's a friendly.
I think we give Lance Leipold a lot of grace out there. And I think we gave him a good amount of grace even on this past Monday. It was a record-setting – it lasted 7 minutes. He left in a hurry. It was just a weird, weird vibe around the entire press conference. And I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I'm sure there's a lot of pressure on him from KU fans, from administration. You have a $250 million stadium, phase one they're trying to build. They haven't even raised quite $200 million yet. I know it's hard to ask for money from fans at that point. But it's just – become, I don't know what the solution to the issue is. Like there's something's got to change. And in my opinion, if this is the Saturday that Jalen Daniels throws another two picks or whatever, or below 200 yards, you have really got to think about either benching him or changing the play caller or doing something because people are going to tune out. I don't think KU fans are going to show up in games if they lose on Saturday. And already I think, you know, like as I write about it, it's become really tough even on me to write about a team that is losing in this way and write about it in a way that's interesting to people for them to click in an article to read about it. Because right now everything's a hate click. Oh, I hate this. I hate what's going on. I don't know how much it's going to last. And I think fans are going to tune out, especially if they lose Saturday. I think it's imperative that they go out there and win. I think this is the closest thing to a must win at this point in the season. And I think just going back to it all, like if they're not ready to bench Jalen Daniels, then why didn't you bring in a transfer quarterback this year? Does that mean you don't trust Cole Ballard? Or if you do trust Cole Ballard, why don't you sit there and see what he has? Because you're not going to win football games with Jalen Daniels playing the way he's playing. He's just not good enough to this thing. You can say he's progressed in the last two games, but a progression is not throwing two interceptions, but sub 200 passing yards and 15 to 34 passing. Keep that. I don't think that's going to win any football games in the Big 12, besides maybe Houston.
Yeah, it's not. It's even, and it's all about replacement value with Daniels, but your point is good. If the replacement value isn't there, then that's an issue that you didn't have better replacement value. I agree with that. But I'm afraid this is the first time that Lance Leipold has been under any pressure at all. He's been coaching with house money his entire KU career, right? Like, this is it. This is the first time they've had any expectations, really. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's not good to see either, because you can't get frustrated and just keep running the same thing out there over and over. It's not working. Something must change. Now your defense isn't playing well. Now you're losing your ability to go win games, because I'm telling you, if their defense isn't good, they're not winning any games. They have to be able to run the football, and they can't when they're giving up this kind of yard, 507 yards to TCU. 507 yards. They were bad against the pass. They were bad against the run. And if they don't defend, they're not winning any games. So I don't know. This will be an interesting test. This is it. First adversity for Leipold. First time. I would you agree with that, Tommy, that he's never been under any pressure?
And I think that is a really good lead in to kind of a follow up that I would love to get Sharius's thoughts on. I have been a Leipold fan since day one. I thought that him coming in,
I still am,
and bringing him into KU was still a fantastic decision. We're five games into this season, and there are other programs that have already started making changes when they've not been happy with the expectations. Purdue fired Graham Harrell, their offensive coordinator, after the game this past weekend. There have been other teams that have already made changes with their play callers because they're not happy with the results. I know that you mentioned how tense the press conference was with Lance Leipold. It concerned me, considering that this is the first really big adversity that he's faced in this time at KU, and that was kind of the reaction. Like, that's concerning to me. But I think what's even more concerning is, at least as of right now, the reluctance or the resistance to adjust anything. And I know that you said that after, you know, if things don't go well this weekend, then you have to take a look at really making changes. But honestly, Sharius, I'm not convinced that Leipold's going to do that. He seems like kind of a stubborn guy, like he's not going to make those changes. And let's call a spade a spade. Jeff Grimes, that hire as offensive coordinator, has been absolutely terrible for Kansas through the first five games. Can it change? Maybe. I don't know. But I think that Lance Leipold is doing a disservice to this program if he doesn't at least put that option on the table to make a change there.
I think, you know, and I asked, you know, I was talking to Kevin Clarity about this yesterday. The reality of the situation is the Jeff Grimes hire has not been up to par of what they need, especially after you had let a guy like Andy Kotelnicki, you know, he goes to Penn State and now he's setting records left and right, right? I think the reality of the situation is if Jalen Daniels has five turnovers instead of 10, I think we're sitting at a KU team that has three or four wins. So maybe they're not as good as everyone thought, but they're not far off from what everyone expected, right? And we wouldn't even be talking about Jeff Grimes. So maybe people would be nitpicky or whatever, but you know, you come out with wins in these games. How much are we really blaming Jeff Grimes? I think, in my opinion, if you're going to sit there and blame anybody, the most of all is 100% the play of Jalen Daniels, I think. You can't win football games when you're turning the ball over at a historic rate. I wrote about this, you know, Leipold he alluded to the fact that the offense isn't that far off from last year. The only stats they're not that far off from last year are rushing stats. Every other stat, passing, yards per game, points per game, completion percentage, stuff like that, is significantly different. There's they're top 10 in the nation in turnovers in a bad way. Okay, like they're 125th in the nation, or this thing. They're averaging 2.3 turnovers a game. Last year, that was 1.3, which was like, you know, middle of the pack. This year, it's in territory that you don't want to be in some of the worst teams in the nation territory. And I think people want to get a scapegoat, and I understand why Jeff Grimes is an easy scapegoat, But the reality of the situation is, as somebody who has defended Jalen Daniels in the past, who would sit there and say he is Kansas's best option, I don't think he's Kansas's best option on the field anymore. I just don't.
I'll use the comparison I've used before. At just the necessity to shake things up. Will Howard won a Big 12 title for K-State, and it was October when he started losing reps to Avery Johnson last year. Now, maybe Kansas doesn't have Avery Johnson behind Jalen. They don't. But Will Howard got the job back later in the year, right? Like, Avery Johnson didn't play at the end of the year. Just do something to shake things up. Anything. Like, right now, they're not doing anything. Well, obviously they are, but it's not working. But just, like, give the roster something. Like, give the fans something. That's my issue. Shreyas, we've got you in bonus time. We appreciate it. Follow Shreyas's work. You can find him on X at SHRE98. Of course, all his works at the KC Star. Hoops, football beats. Hopefully we get some optimism and can salvage this thing. I still think that their running backs give them a chance to win any game they play, but my goodness, you've got to be able to give them a chance in a game. Shreyas, thank you, and we'll look for your work this week ahead of the next game before the bye week.
Thanks for having me, guys.
There goes Shreyas Lotta. Tommy, I've been dreading this segment now for how many days has it been since Saturday? Four? There's heat. There's real there heat is. There.
There is.
And I hate it. I hate it because this was the year. And what does next year look like?
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times over the last few days I've thought, has it been unfair to put the level of expectations on Kansas
absolutely
going into the season?
Not.
And I agree with you. As a Kansas fan, absolutely not. No way. Everything was trending towards massive success this year. Everything was.
You finally had a chance to have expectations.
Yep. And
right?
This is more, as a fan, a longtime fan, this is more frustrating than the years that they went 0-12 or 1-11 or what, like, far more
totally.
Frustrating because nobody thought they would do anything at all. Like, nobody had any expectations whatsoever. It was just like, nah, whatever, KU football, they suck, move on. This is really, like, makes me so angry and disgusted because for the first time in 15 years, you finally have expectations and they've fallen off a cliff.
Apathy is always my greatest fear in sports, Tommy. Next year, look at the play. Like, what are they going to be next year? It's hard to imagine the roster will be more talented next year than it is this year. And they're one in whatever. 869-1240, you can chime in. When we come back, we're going to go back-to-back guest for you here. Paul Mills, Wichita State head men's basketball coach, is going to join the program. They're back practicing. So much to cover there. Excited about this. Get you ready for a little Shocker Hoops. Coming up quicker than we think. That's next. That's how we start hour number two of Sports Daily.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily, and we're glad to be here with you on this Wednesday, on this Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. And we are happy to welcome in Wichita State men's basketball coach Paul Mills. For the first time in a little while, Coach, how are you?
Jacob, Tommy, thanks for having me. Doing good.
It's a big Wednesday. You guys, 25 days, 3 weeks from Sunday, you guys are going to be playing a game. I know the work has been hard on the court. You guys have been out there working now. Does it feel to you like we've started the basketball season now? Like, is this when you get to full, you know, to practices and everything? Is that it for you, or does it ever really stop? I guess.
Yeah, it honestly never stops. I'm not in a Hawaiian shirt today, but I'm usually in a pretty good mood, and my mood sometimes goes south this time of year simply because you realize all the things that need to get done, but at the same time you're trying to make sure we can dominate the simple things without trying to overload them with too much thinking. Haven't done this for nearly three decades. It is the more their brain's moving, the slower their feet are. So you're really trying to make sure that we're grounded in fundamentals and can dominate the simple things that we need to do in order to give ourselves a chance.
Coaches, we, you know, look through the first few games of the non-conference schedule for the Shockers. After an exhibition game later this month against Emporia State, you guys, you know, start on the road at Western Kentucky, you know, basically right off the bat, hitting the road and leaving Wichita for that opener in the non-conference play. Does that change preparation at all for you guys, knowing that you'll be on the road, you're headed out, or is it the same sort of preparation that you would do if you actually started the games that count towards the standings at home in Coke Arena?
Well, it definitely amps up the intensity. I mean, I told the guys that we're not going to wait till game number six to figure out if we're tough enough to play on the road. So you're playing at Western Kentucky, a team that returns four of their five starters from an NCAA team. And I don't know if you remember, but I believe they were up 9 on Marquette there at the end of the first half. So you're talking about an experienced group who has won a conference championship, experienced the NCAA tournament, and returns 80% of their starters. So it is a game that will be very difficult, and it is something that will prepare us for games down the road. You know, once we get to the end of November, we play 3 neutral site games in a row, St. Louis and then Minnesota, Florida, or Wake Forest. And we need to get some answers pretty early about where we're at in order to navigate the rest of the season.
I want to ask about Mate. Let's a little house cleaning here, if you will, Coach. Where are things with his? I know there was some documentation and paperwork that still needed to get done. Do we have any more clarity on his status? Because word on the street is he looks really, really good out there.
Yeah, Mate's a really good player and really experienced, and you can tell. I've had a lot of success with European guys in the past simply because it's a brand of basketball that's very similar to collegiate. They don't have 3 seconds like they do in defensive 3 seconds like they do in the NBA. And I think a lot of them understand just how to navigate help defense. Whereas when you get high school kids and they're coming up, I would tell you that teams don't necessarily have great rim protection and nor are they good in weak side help. Whereas the European teams are really good at it. And so this isn't the NBA where the lane is wide open. In order to create more free flow cutting and opportunities to get to the rim. So navigating in tight space is you're going to be better at it the more experienced you are. So he is really good. You know, the NCAA has a number of these players. There's a number of players who've come over from Europe this year who left certain situations in order to play basketball here in the States. And Mate's in a group of, I would probably say, about 75 players who are dealing with this with the NCAA, and a number of them at different levels. But there are a number of really good players stretched out across really good conferences. So we'll see how this all plays out. But I'm a guy whose glass is half full anyway, and feel optimistic about this, but feel great about the job that our people have done here. And, you know, I do believe the NCAA thing on as it pertains to Mate.
Coach, entering into year number 2 at the helm of Shocker basketball, do you feel like, I mean, there's always going to be buzz around the program with the importance in this city and all of that, but do you feel like getting through year number 1 and you know, everything that kind of came along with that, setting your philosophies and the way that you want to run the program and all of that, as you get ready for year number 2, do you think that noise, the external noise from stakeholders and all of that, has that allowed you, maybe it, you know, diminishing a little bit, to allow you to focus on basketball maybe more than you did in year number 1? Or is that something that maybe you still felt like you were able to do in year 1 and it just kind of continues?
Yeah, I definitely thought I was able to do it in year 1. You know, I genuinely love Shocker basketball. I know our staff does. We enjoy being around the players, and this is a rich history. I think if you talk to anybody nationally, this program is known for its fan support. It's known for Shocker Nation. It's known for the roundhouse and how loud it can get inside because of the support that people give to Shocker basketball. But I don't think anything's changed. There may be a perception out there that, you know, that people kind of try to intervene from the outside, and I'm telling you that I don't get bothered that much. So that's a good thing. You can kind of focus in on what you need to do. I think the people who deeply care about the situation, understand that, you know, elevators don't get to the penthouse immediately. And I think we're all mindful of, you know, Coach Turgeon's first year, Coach Marshall's first year, that these transitions aren't necessarily easy. And you do believe that based on the things that you've been able to do at previous places, and you feel great about the culture that you're building. I do believe we have a lot of trust in that locker room. And I'll tell you, you know, and we'll mention this a number of times here over the next 4 or 5 weeks, but the character of our locker room is really good. I thought last year, you know, those guys were in a situation where a number of them did not sign up for me. And I understood that. And so when the rubber meets the road and you need to have some grit and be able to fight through, I thought we were a little shorthanded in some of those areas. I feel good about who we have in the locker room. I feel that they are all in on Shocker basketball. And I do believe that the experiences that these guys have had collectively and the experiences with our staff will really, you'll see a significant jump this year.
What that kind of leads me into this, Wichita State head men's basketball coach Paul Mills joining us. What gets you excited about this team? When you go home and you're talking to your buddies in the coaching industry, when you're talking to your family, like what are you talking to them about on a good way of what gets you excited about this specific group this year?
Yeah, one is depth. You know, we only played about 7 guys a year ago. There were times where we would play 8, but for the most part, we played 7 guys. And if you're only playing that much, there's going to be some holes in practice. And this isn't the NBA where, you know, those guys are going to start playing scrimmages on Sunday. And they just started practice yesterday. So, you know, I'm going to be with Oklahoma City Thunder tomorrow and watching those guys practice and have some friends that way. But I'm always amazed at just, you know, how far along they are. But those guys play more than they practice. In college, you practice more than you play. So you need depth at every single position. You have to have good guards going against other good guards. You have to have good centers going against other good centers and wings and so on. So I will tell you, the thing that I take away every day is, like, I see competition at every single spot. And there were some times last year where, man, this guy just isn't being challenged, or this is way too easy. Because we practice more than we play, in my opinion, games should be easier than practice. Practice should definitely be harder in regards to the intensity and everything that's required of you day in and day out. And I definitely see that with this group, but it's on account of the depth. The second thing that I'm excited about is we have experience. You know, you don't have young guys who are trying to figure out. You're going to have to take some lumps in order to understand what needs to happen in order to put you on the right side of the scoreboard. So the depth this year's
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts. equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Tremendous, assuming that we can keep everybody healthy, and at the same time, we have an experienced group. So those things cause me a great deal of optimism.
Coach, speaking of the roster, it's been a minute, I feel like, since there have been a pair of as highly anticipated freshmen coming on the roster for Wichita State, like we see this year with Zion Pipkin and TJ Williams. How do you feel about their progression so far, you know, making that jump to college and working with your program?
Yeah, Zion had a tremendous summer and just came in. He was a ball of energy, but I think any time that you have a freshman coming in, they are relying on a number of instincts, and I think veterans, to some degree, kind of pace themselves. So you see the jubilation and excitement out of younger players being able to practice, whereas the vets kind of understand, like, listen, you're going to get the best that I've got, but I understand what you're really going to need the best that I've got is when the season comes around. So there's a learning curve involved with all those guys. Zion has the energy, I think, and he has the motor. I think what now he's trying to figure out on a day-by-day basis is, where do I need to be? What do I need to be doing? And how do I do it with some level of intensity in order to add value to my team? And so you see a lot of thinking, especially when you're dealing with a point guard. And I would tell you that I'm not easy on the point guards that I've been able to coach. It's worked out well for those guys, but it is a pretty difficult position for a freshman to learn. TJ in the summer was – TJ Williams is people in Wichita know who had a chance to see him play at Heights – is he came from a great program, and he understands what winning looks like. And he, too, has a tremendous motor. He's a slasher, so when shots go up, he's able to retrieve basketballs outside of his area, one, because of his athleticism, and two, because of his motor. So he can really offensive rebound and then get the ball to where it needs to go, and then can really cause pressure because of his transition ability offensively. He also has defensive versatility, and so he can guard a number of positions. But TJ's battling a knee issue right now that we're working through, and so he's been held out, and we'll have we'll get a better idea about what his future entails here in the next few days. But both of those guys are good, but I wouldn't put expectations too much on freshmen. It's really hard on those guys.
Yeah, they're freshmen for sure. Who do you think right now, we'll get you one more here, Coach, who of the new guys is the guy Shocker fans you think will fall in love with the quickest? Like who comes in and makes that biggest impact, that spark on this roster? Or do you expect it to be the faces we know?
Yeah. I mean, for fans to get excited about, I will tell you, we have two guys who've done really well, and that's Mate. And Mate, I'm not going to call him the Croatian sensation yet. That's probably too much pressure, but he's been terrific. And I'll tell you, the other guy is Corey Washington. Corey didn't shoot the three ball much when his first 2 years at St. Peter's. Didn't shoot it at all his freshman season and then his sophomore years. But, I was telling an NBA team yesterday that, man, his motor and his ability to cut, his ability to offensive rebound are really unique. And unique in a good way he's competitive. He doesn't stop. I think fans will absolutely love Corey Washington simply because his energy and his ability to get things done is really impressive. AJ McGinnis shoots it really well, but I will tell you, I know what fans like. I know what I like. And when you see a guy running 100 miles an hour in order to get things accomplished and is just relentless the entire time, that is Corey Washington.
All right, Coach. Well, look, again, 25 days till the season starts. We appreciate your time here. Hopefully we do this more now that the season is underway. We call it underway when you guys start practicing. I had it teed. I was going to let you go on the Astros reaching the postseason and not the Rangers, but we're out of time. We're out of time. And I apologize about that.
Hopefully we win today or otherwise we're just 24 hours behind the Rangers.
There you go. All right, Coach. Well, good luck. Safe travels there for you. And let's talk again soon as we get closer to the season.
Sounds great. Thank you.
There goes Paul Mills. Tommy, I continue to get a very optimistic vibe and feel for Shocker basketball this year. We get this Mate thing's hopefully going to get figured out quick, but I have heard a lot about how good he looks, and I really hope we get to see him on the floor right away. For Wichita State.
I think the experience that he brings can absolutely be a game changer. The competition that he's faced over his time, I mean, that for sure, assuming that he can actually get on the floor and play for Wichita State, could be a game changer for the Shockers.
It's almost like college basketball is going to sneak up on us. I mean, it is. It'll sneak up on us. We're getting ready for it, though. We'll do that. We'll get some players in here. We're hoping to, to get more of that as we get ramped up for the season. So stay tuned for that. All right. We got a lot to sort of catch up on here when we go back-to-back interview segments. Want to tell you that the IHOP hotline is open at 869-1240. You can celebrate the weekdays with new IHOP House faves, all your favorites for just $6, Monday through Friday. Give us a call, 869-1240. React to any of our KU or Shocker talk in the last two segments. You can leave us voice messages on the Odyssey app. Just click the little microphone if you're listening there. And you can leave us your messages on our video stream, either on the 12 News Plus Connected stream, Facebook, YouTube X, all kinds of ways to get in touch with the program. So do all of that as we make our way back through the rest of this show. We're back open. We'll have more on the Royals here. Another big-time wide receiver is asking for a trade. Should the Chiefs be interested? I'm interested in your thoughts on it. We'll have that conversation next.
KFH.
Everyone, if you want to win some free HTO iced tea, more than 20 flavors, or some free iced or hot coffee from HTO, you can do that right now, one of each, by texting the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. Those will be good for any of the Wichita Metro locations, all three of them. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. Tommy, we continue here on Sports Daily. We'll have more Royals talk as we make our way through. But Devontae Adams, real quick. Devontae Adams is the next receiver entering essentially the trade market. We believe, according to national reports, he's asking for a trade. And I think you asked me yesterday, a bunch of people asked me, I think you asked me also what I think of that for the Chiefs. Look, if the financial piece of it can work, I'd say yes, do it. I'd say yes. Now, there may be another team in the mix, though, that's willing to outbid everybody. And I would also advocate for that if I was that particular team, and that's the Jets. But yeah, I'd absolutely look, if the Raiders are willing to trade in division, I would be in the Devontae Adams business. I'll just put it that way. You'd have to. I don't know if they can even do the financial component of that or Tyreek Hill. I mean, it's all the same, whether it's Hill or Adams or Deontay Johnson or any of them. If you figure out the finances, I think the Chiefs should be in the market for any of these guys, because I don't think we're going to see Rashee Rice for a while. And it may be, if it's this year, then a suspension, then it's a really long while. And you need these guys for not only to try to win a third Super Bowl, but to try to win a Super Bowl in 2025.
Yeah, so Adam Schefter has reported that the Chiefs are not expected to be an option for Devontae Adams.
I wouldn't think the financial part of
that.
Yeah, and
it's simply because of the financials. I mean, Devontae Adams is expensive. Like, they would have to significantly restructure his contract to even have a shot to make that work financially. And it doesn't seem like that's realistic. And then you add another layer on top of that as well, with the thought that, you know, do the Raiders really have an appetite to trade Devontae Adams inside their division to see him twice this year? I mean, I just can't imagine that that would be the case.
Yeah, I can't either. I highly, 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 highly doubt that they would do that. Yeah. So it's out there, though. And look, I think it's relevant, too, because let's say Devontae Adams got traded to the Jets, which to me makes absolutely the most sense. If they can make the financial part of it work, it would unlock Garrett Wilson. It would give Aaron Rodgers that weapon, that familiarity, all of it. He could come in quicker. That potentially changes the power shift, I think, in the AFC. The Jets have been a little anemic on offense, right? Adding Devontae Adams there would make an impact. Does it make enough of an impact? I'm not sure, but what I would say too is, if I was any team in the AFC right now with the Dolphins and their injury concerns, the Browns are a non-factor. The Steelers are good, but they don't have a quarterback. The Chiefs have lost all these players. Like, if I'm a fringe AFC team, I see a lane of opportunity here. So yeah, I do think Devontae Adams is a potential needle mover, as is Tyreek Hill. If either one of those two players lands on one of these fringy AFC teams, Tommy, it could make a big difference. I know Baltimore flexed on Buffalo, but I don't think Baltimore is this insurmountable team right now. Again, and this is perception of front offices, they can be run down. So yeah, I think either of those guys, if they stay in the AFC, are absolute factors to put a team over the edge.
Yeah, I think that the Jets, you know, absolutely, because of the connection with Aaron Rodgers,
they have got to make that call.
That is, you know, probably the most likely landing spot. But don't count out the New Orleans Saints either. I mean, this is a team, you know, because Adams has a relationship prior with Derek Carr.
That's a good point.
And that actually worked pretty well when Derek Carr was in Vegas with the Raiders and played with Devontae Adams.
And they're buddies. Right?
And they've been buddies for a long time. So, you know, clearly with a guy like Devontae Adams, that sense of familiarity is extremely important, having the strong relationship with Aaron Rodgers, but then having a past relationship with Derek Carr made that work, you know, pretty well. And that's probably a large reason why he wants to leave the Raiders, is just because he doesn't have that familiarity with, whether it's Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, doesn't really have that. And so I wouldn't count out the Saints either, because they're in a position where I know that they've declined in the last couple of weeks offensively from the way they started the season, but they're a tantalizing offense. Like, we saw them, you know, put it together where Derek Carr was the best statistically gifted quarterback through the first 2 weeks of the regular season, with talent on that team like Alvin Kamara and Chris Olave and others. And so if you can add Devontae Adams to that mix, all of a sudden, I think that catapults the Saints into being potentially a legitimate contender in, I think, what is probably a fairly wide open NFC.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. He could put some NFC teams over the edge too. And they're about the only team that would be in the market. I hadn't thought about them. I like that. I like that fit. I like that fit. Because that division's open too. I mean, that conference is open too.
It is.
So look, he's out there. Does he get traded? It's probably too early for that. I don't think he's like threatening to not play or anything like that. But, you know, it's out there. And so we'll pay attention to it because Chiefs happen to need a wide receiver. I don't think they're going to get him. I don't think they're going to get Tyreek Hill. I keep circling back to Deontay Johnson, and it could be somebody we're not even thinking about yet. But we don't even have Tommy the Rashi Rice news yet.
Yeah, we don't know.
Which is the other elephant in the room right now.
Yeah, we don't know. And it sure sounds like you know, there are further tests that are being planned, and I know, like, one of the things that I read, and there's all this misinformation out there, so that's, you have to crazy. Be pretty...
Not even misinformation as much as, like, guessing.
Speculation, right. It makes it really hard to know exactly, you know, what is legitimate and what's not, but I've heard that part of the reason for the delay is that doctors have to wait for the swelling to go down. Sometimes that happens when you are dealing with a knee injury like that, where, you know, in kind of run-of-the-mill torn ACL cases, there's not additional swelling, and it just, like, they can run an MRI and be like, yep,
right,
he's got the torn ACL. Right. Yeah. But this has, you know, some swelling because of the hyperextension that he suffered in that injury. So it might take a little bit more time for that swelling to go down and get, you know, really a good comprehensive view on what's going on. But knowing that, you know, again, they're not going to make a move right away. I think that from a realistic point of view, you do have to look at the financials with some of these other teams that might have wide receivers that are on the market. Devontae Adams is not, you know, the only one. I mean, think of some of these other receivers that have had contract disputes recently. Like, I think of a guy like T. Higgins, you know, that has had contract disputes. And, you know,
T. Higgins, that's not happening.
But not happening because the financials just won't work for Kansas City.
Well,
so,
and the Bengals aren't going to trade
him. Bengals aren't going to trade him either. So, like, there are some names out there, but I think you have to be, you know, really, like, you have to understand the way that the financial ramifications will play out. And that will limit who they can go and get.
I would tell you this, if they get some medicals that said, hey, Rashi Rice will be back by the postseason, I would say the Chiefs are fine, right? Just get, because at that point, all they need to do is get to the postseason. It's what bleeds into next year and a missed season completely that would drive me to be aggressive if I were the Chiefs. But if he's not, and the other thing you got to remember too is Hollywood Brown, I mean, his contract's expired at next year. You know Rice is going to get suspended, likely to start next year, if I had to guess at that. You can make a move now that also helps you next year in that aggression, right? Like, if you can find, if you don't trade for a receiver that's a rental, you trade, and that's why I kind of like the Deontay Johnson market a little bit, or one of these guys who cost you a little bit less but is just better than what you have. And again, I just think back to, like, let's think about, you know, sort of the first round capital for Brett Veach, and this is why I'd be willing to do it. He's traded the pick twice, Frank Clark, Orlando Brown. Two of the other times he's had the pick, it's been Clyde Edwards-Helaire, essentially, and Felix Anudike Uzama. Neither of those guys are big. So I sometimes, the Chiefs' gold has been the middle of drafts, outside of Patrick Mahomes. That has been their gold mine, and Trent McDuffie. But so it just doesn't worry me as much because they've been sort of free and easy with their first round picks anyway, where they're taking risky players like they did with Felix and Udike Uzama, or whether they're just trading those picks. If you can go get a receiver that helps you this year and next year, I don't think that's too steep a price to pay for a team that's going to be picking in the 30s most likely anyway.
Yeah, and you know, Deontay Johnson, I know you brought him up a few times, and I like the fit as far as the style in which he plays. And I like the fact that he's on the Panthers, and the Panthers aren't going anywhere. And so the Carolina, you know, is looking to rebuild. And so, you know, building that for the future, I think that they'd be a willing trade partner. The issue comes down to the financials. Deontay Johnson has a base salary this season of $7 million.
He's got to sign and trade.
He's got a cap hit of $10 million right now. That's above the cap for Kansas City. So the only way that would happen is a restructure of a deal. And keep in mind, he's an unrestricted free agent after this season. And so the Chiefs would have to structure something to lessen the cap hit, to lessen that salary, and to sign him beyond just this season, unless they view him as strictly a rental. But again, I think that those things are going to be, I don't think they can get him as a rental either. They would have to sign him to a 2 or 3 year deal. And remember, he's 28, you know, already. And Brett Veach, it doesn't matter if we're talking Tyreek Hill or somebody else. Brett Veach has been resistant to sign receivers to multi-year deals.
Come down to, like, will Deontay Johnson sign a 3-year, $30 million deal? Because if he would, then yeah, I'd be in there. Okay, 3 years, $45 million, right? To put him kind of in the middle of the pack. I think that's where you're, if you're the Chiefs, you're interested. Because he would help you. Now, he would be a really, really, really good fit. He is a target monster, just like Rashi Rice is a target monster. That's what he's been with quarterbacks significantly worse than Patrick Mahomes. And the other thing about Carolina is they brought him in there to help Bryce Young. They're on to Andy Dalton now, which if I'm Carolina and I can get a first, heck yeah, I would do it today. I wouldn't be as concerned about it because Johnson's there. That was there. He was brought in to help the development of Bryce Young. They've already pulled the plug on that.
Right.
So we'll see.
You know, why don't we look at, you know, a couple of receivers that are, you know, potentially available that wouldn't break the bank, where they wouldn't have to restructure a contract to make it work. And there are a handful of them out there. Honestly, leading the pack is Amari Cooper. I mean, he's got a base salary that is within.
But that would require the Browns waving the flag.
It absolutely would. But again, remember, like, this is not something that the Chiefs are going to pull the trigger on right this second anyway. Because
what week does the trade deadline come?
It's on. I remember Adam Schefter had it mentioned it the other day. It's on Election Day, so we're talking November 6th or November 7th or whatever.
Which would be like week 8 or 9.
Yeah.
It would have to be catastrophic for the Browns to be willing to do that by week 8 or 9. That would be my fear with them. You're going to have to look at the bad teams.
Yeah, Amari Cooper, you know, is probably the most affordable. But then you've got other names that wouldn't break the bank that would come in under the salary cap for the Chiefs, like potentially a reunion with DeMarcus Robinson from the Rams.
Love it.
He's under the cap. That would be fine. There are a couple of other names from the Rams that could potentially be on the move, like Tyler Johnson or Tutu Atwell. They're not getting Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp, but there are a couple of other names that are there. Tyler Boyd is somebody that would be under the cap. KJ Osborne for the Patriots would be under the cap. And then a couple of other names that are under that they would be able to get on, but these two players are not currently playing right now for various reasons. Zay Jones for the Cardinals is under the salary cap, but he's suspended for a couple more games right now. And then Odell Beckham Jr. is, you know, on the reserve list, and he's available and affordable as well.
I don't think they need to make a trade just to make one, which is what I kind of feel like those guys would be at that point. I think if you're going to do it, you got to make yourself better without, like, it has to be unquestionably, yes, we just got better, right? If you're going to make a trade, don't waste your time. Just let Justin Watson play. Do I trust Zay Jones more than Justin Watson, who's been in the system forever? I do not. Or insert any of those names here. Like, just roll Justin Watson out at that point and let him, you know, basically you'd be getting into the point where you got last year before Rashi Rice really took off.
But you like the DeMarcus Robinson potential.
I do like DeMarcus Robinson. I think he's a stylistic fit.
I think he's been better with the Rams than during his tenure with the Chiefs. Yeah, he's developed.
There's no question. But he flashed. He flashed with Kansas City. Like, we all sat there and thought he's got some. So yeah, I would be on that one.
When he was coming up, it was right about the same time that Mahomes was coming up as well. Like, kind of they were in that same sort of era. And I think it was a preseason game, and I remember they connected for a long touchdown pass in a preseason game. And I thought, man, this is the connection that is going to be incredible for years to come for Kansas City. It didn't ultimately end up that way, but I mean, he flashed for sure with Mahomes during a couple of years that he was there.
Yeah, he did. That one would be good. That one would be good. We'll see what happens. We still got to get an injury report on Rashi Rice. Again, if he's back for the postseason, I don't think they need to do anything right now. All right, we'll come back. We'll get you primed up for Royals. I know we got a voice message from Ken. We'll get to that. We can take your calls on the Royals as well. Want to remind you, it's available always for free right here on KFH and the Odyssey app. Tune in this afternoon. 3 o'clock coverage begins for the 3:38 first pitch. Royals Orioles. You can also listen on the Odyssey app. Just download the Odyssey app and search for KFH at game time. We'll come back. A little Royals talk when we return.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday to all those who celebrate. Not Tommy. I assume not Jad, because we can never get Jad to celebrate this particular holiday with us, this weekly holiday that we've created here on Sports Daily. But you can. Tweet us your or X us. How do you even say that now?
I just say tweet us. It's Twitter.
Tweet us your Hawaiian shirts, and we'll share those out there. All right, 869-1240 is that IOP hotline. It is Jacob Albrecht. It is Tom McCaster. It is Sports Daily. Getting you primed up for a Royals playoff game a little bit later today. Ken has left us a voice message through the Odyssey app. Jad's got that for us. Jad, let's see what Ken has to say.
Good morning, fellas. Q, for what it's worth, said on his post-game show that Reagan's cramping was an issue they'd dealt with before, and they just need him to hydrate and he'll be fine. I just have to chuckle about the fact that I had some regret when the Royals traded Chapman, who I really enjoyed, for Reagan's. Anyway, great victory yesterday.
Yeah, hopefully Reagan's is fine. He's dealt with it before. Two things on that for me, Tommy. Got to be real careful how I want to handle this.
Let me go first
on this. Because Rangers fans on the Chapman thing have been saying the same thing. How did we let Reagan's go? They don't win a World Series without Aroldis Chapman. They just don't. So that goes back to that question of, do you mortgage the future to win a title when you've never had one? I don't, as a Rangers fan, regret that trade. It helps that Reagan's went to Kansas City, where I can still root him on. But yeah, you'd love to have him. Every team in baseball would. As far as the cramping, there are so many times, Tommy, that I wish... that I feel like we're a little, I'm an old soul. Like, I wish we were in a time where you could make jokes about that kind of thing.
Make your joke.
Trouble. No, I'm not going to do that.
It's funny because, you live this plurality of morals, because on the one hand, and it's not even just morals, it's just in the way that you approach professionalism, because on the one hand, you won't tell what you're concerned to be a tasteless joke.
But on the other hand,
you're rocking a Hawaiian shirt, and you couldn't get any more unprofessional than that.
I would let people connect the dots on a joke that I would like to make and wish I could about what plagued Cole Reagan's yesterday, and that I made about 1,000 times to different people through text messages because I didn't want to waste it. But we won't do it here. We have more taste than that.
You're kind of a 12-year-old boy too. In that regard.
100% of the time. Yes, that's accurate. Correct. We all are, by the way. If you're a man and you deny that, you're lying, because you are. But yeah, we'll leave it at that. The Royals, they send Seth Lugo to the mound today, and I'm pretty confident, Tommy. I'm taking them on the money line again. They paid on the money line yesterday. I'm in. I like Seth Lugo in this spot far more than if it was reversed and he was facing elimination. Free and easy is how I want all the Royals feeling right now. And let's call it a gut feeling that they'll score some runs today. I'll call it more than... I mean, I don't even know what – it's not impressive, but I'll call it more than three with a chance to be higher. But I think for the Royals right now, you feel good if you can get that. I think they will today.
I'm really interested to see how Quattrero puts his lineup card together for this afternoon, because it was interesting yesterday. Yeah, Pham didn't lead off. Massey did. Pham was further down in the lineup. And then the other thing that was interesting to me was that Paul DeJong didn't start in the game. He didn't play. He wasn't in the starting lineup. And I know that, some of that is probably I don't know if it's a righty lefty split or, sort of what the decision was for that. But I wonder how game two will pan out from a lineup perspective. It's good to get the middle of the lineup back to normal. And even just having the presence of Vinny Pasquantino in the lineup changes the way that pitchers will approach Witt and Pasquantino and Salvi. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see, though, if they end up going Pham in the leadoff spot today.
Do you remember the time in this season where we would get so annoyed at lineup construction? Because I do.
Yeah.
And that is not the case for me any longer. The Royals made it to the postseason, had this dream season by mixing and matching just about every game. So I am totally fine with whatever Quattrero's feeling today and how he runs that out. The far greater impact is that Pasquantino's sitting there in between, Witt and Sal. I mean, that dude.
I said it yesterday. If Pasquantino does nothing but is a statue in the batter's box, that's a win, because again, it changes the way that pitchers have to approach that lineup.
And he had a walk yesterday, which is a good sign. I don't know what his power is going to look like, but you just sort of trust it. And we haven't seen it in a while. Yesterday was the first at bats he's had in forever. So
I honestly don't have major expectations for him offensively in this particular series. This is more of a warm up, I think, for him to get back to game speed. And, you know, assuming that they can make it and move on to the division series and then beyond, I think at that point you've gotten him some reps in the wild card round, and hopefully he'll be ready to go and be ready to actually be productive.
If I'm Baltimore today, look, I'll be honest, and I don't know if this is a good idea, but I think you pitch around Witt to get to Pasquantino. I mean, if you get the opportunity to, and then if you're sitting here as a Royals fan, you hope that Pasquantino makes him pay for that, right? Like, that's what I would do if I was Baltimore today. And then because you got to see what Pasquantino's got in the tank. Not a lot of time for them, though. They face elimination. That game, well, we'll get you all the details on the broadcast when we return. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. We'll wrap up a Wednesday next.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.